You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
Thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity to bring everyone or to anyone who wants to listen, who is willing to listen, who will please listen to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined today by the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that are coming to us live via live stream from Italy. So we are indeed blessed, grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually. And we are truly blessed to be alive at this time. We're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication. The supplication is taken from the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom. It's day 31, the Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, before bringing the sisters in, just when Louisa says that it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising. In other words, it seems like you're going to divulge another truth, another secret. And when our blessed Lord and our blessed Lady uses the word secret, it doesn't have the nefarious connotation that it does in modern day vernacular. It doesn't mean, ooh, something bad, or it's being withdrawn, or being withhidden, withheld. All that, that's not what the language of heaven explains. But how are we going to understand that? Well, Our Lady explains to us also in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, it's meditation number one. She says, quote, "For a secret is a need of the heart, which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding," end quote. So not only does it not have a nefarious connotation, it's actually a very humble compliment, because our Lord and our Lady would not be divulging these truths. This gift of living the divine will would not be available at this time if our Lord and our Lady did not feel we were, quote, capable of understanding. So have confidence, not only in Christ and his mother, have confidence in what God has placed in each and every one of us. He's planted the seed. He's now watering the seed. He's now giving it the light, fecundity. Everything that's necessary for growth has been given to us. And speaking of growth, we are blessed to have with us the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. I'm not saying you're still growing, sisters, but what I'm saying is, well, actually, your order is growing. Right? Tennessee has got, I think, two or three new aspirants. And Italy, any update, sister, from Italy? Any new vocations?
No, we had two girls that they have an experience with us, but only for a few days. We are praying for having more vocation. And we are sure that God is working on our soul to welcome in a better way all the souls that he will send us. I hope so.
Sure.
I hope so for both. for the working in our soul and for them also. Well, and we have to be optimist.
Yes.
And that was, every time I'm surprised, is so providential also your beginning with this beautiful prayer, because I was thinking, what can I choose for share on Radio Maria about Divine Will today? Now, at beginning, I was thinking about Saint Joseph, because a few days ago we have his feast. But Lago della Bilancia, the bussola. Come si può dire la bussola?
Oh, I don't know, bussola.
Lago della Bilancia.
Oh,
the Nile.
Wavering between
the
decisions.
Needle,
yeah, was going
back and forth.
Yeah, pendulum.
Pendulum.
Was going on. No, Maria. So now understand why we cannot choose anything. It's only Holy Spirit that guide us. And you were telling also that many things are hidden, and yes, this the beautiful part of our spiritual life is hidden. like love, like the spirit, the Holy Spirit is hidden. It's something that we cannot describe in a physical way. We can express in a human way what is divine love. And we can understand what is divine love reading the Bible, reading the writings of Louisa, because they express in a verbal way, in a human way, what is this love. But the most important part is hidden, and we can keep this hidden part for us, especially through prayers, especially nourishing our spiritual life. And it will be always a surprise, but is the beautiful part is the transforming of our way to see things, a way to express ourselves, is a continuous journey. And this is the beautiful part of the hidden part of our spiritual life. I insist about the prayer. Also, I speak for me in this time. I'm making effort to go in prayer in a profound way, in a simple, but also in a profound way, because through prayer, we can really touch the heart of Jesus and Mary. And about my meditation on Mary, I choose this passage from volume 33, July 8, 1935. And I don't know if it's Jesus or Louisa. Yeah, I think it's Jesus. The Blessed Virgin is all beautiful, and their majesty is enchanting. The heavens lower themselves in homage to her sanctity. No one can be said to be similar to her, since her riches are endless and incalculable. For this reason, she is a lady, mother, and queen. What are her riches? Souls, each of which is worth more than entire world. Each one is a property of hers, and this is why she indeed can be given the name of true lady. Her riches are special. They are comprised of lives who are speaking, loving, and singing the praises of the celestial lady. No one enters in heaven if not through her, and by virtue of her maternity and her sorrows. It's so enchanting, this part, because we, for faith, we know that we can receive all through Jesus. But is there is a step before the going to Jesus, and this big step is Mary. And I want to focus my attentions on the words maternity and sorrows. About the maternity, we know she's our mother, and I was thinking in what way he is a mother for us, in a special way, because she see us with the same way that Jesus, the God, see us. So she see us in all the total wisdom of God, and all in his all infinite love. And in this way, she's mother, so she can give us life, and this life is the life of Jesus. And she can do this because from volume 36, February 14, 1938, we can read also, it was only in the sovereign lady that God's love did not find any obstruction. It displayed so much and did so many wonders that he gave her divine fecundity and made of her the mother of her creator. It can be said that this love regenerated the human family with new love, and God loved humanity with double love in the celestial queen and their son. So she can give us the divine life because she has the divine fecundity. She can give birth in our soul to Jesus every time we make an act in divine will. And I like this part also because God can love humanity with double love in her. So mathematics is not an opinion. I prefer two than one. So it's so important to go to our mother to be more loved from God. And this is a kind of humility, a kind of be very little in our way to do things, also in a spiritual, also in simple things, simple daily life. And in this way, I want also to add something about sorrows, because in this time we are so near to the holy week, the week of Lent, the week dedicated to the Passion of Jesus, and we can understand, going to her, that she make for us a total and divine reparation. So is a very good thing to meditate the Passion of God, but also it's better to do with this, we focus on her, on her maternity, on her reparation. So we can do, I think, also a more big effort to give company to Jesus, because we are not crushed under the cross. We are keep from her to in a mature way. We are not crushed. So because she make reparation for us, so we are loved from God, especially when we stay at the feet of the cross. So this is my suggestion for me in this week, next week, and for you also, to go to give company to Jesus in this next week, meditating the Passion, but with Mary and through Mary.
Amen. You know, I can't help but to remember when you were saying this. I mean, there's so many points I can go, but I don't have time, because we have to save time for Sister Francesca and Sister Elizabeth, who's on the end there. But our Lord says in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, meditation number 6, he says, if you want miracles, go to my mother, as I will never deny her anything that she asks of me. End quote. So not that that's the reason why we love Our Lady, but this is the plan of salvation, right? The only mediator between God and man is Jesus. And the only mediator between us and Jesus is Mary. That's the way it is. And see, our poor fallen brothers and sisters, to no fault of their own. I mean, think about it. When Martin Luther made the break, he may have had some legitimate complaints. But if you're going to break from something established, just like a commercial, new and improved. Well, what's new and improved? Well, Mary is this. No, Mary's that. Sacraments are this. No, sacraments are that. They had to be extreme in one direction to sort of draw a crowd away. I mean, you can't be new and improved. Nothing's the same. We're actually the same. Who's going to move? Who's going to jump ship? So again, we pray for our brothers and sisters. You said also the riches. Riches are souls. And Jesus, yeah. God explains that and emphasized that through a myriad of different ways. The one that comes to mind is Deacon Lawrence, St. Lawrence, the martyr. The king said, bring me all the riches. And he says, okay. He goes around. What does he do? He gets all the lepers. He gets all the infamed. He gets all the paraplegics. He gets all the souls, the downtrodden. And he brings them to the king, of course, and he gets infuriated and burns him at the stake. But remember, also mystical gifts anticipate the soul. So how else can Deacon Lawrence said midway through his burning on the stake, turn me over, I'm done. I mean, this is not normal. This is mystical. This is divine. And we all had that to fall back on. Last but not least, sister, the veil. Everything about our life is unveiling what's already been veiled. When Adam and Eve sinned, it's as if they got thrown out of the mansion. And what happens when you vacate a house? Well, you throw sheets over everything, the beds, the couches. It's our job now to gain entrance back in. God's done that through the gift. Now, are we going to explore? Are we going to see what's in the bedrooms? Are we going to see the basement? Are we willing to go into the deep, as St. Pope John Paul II says? That's our challenge.
And this also, this word riches can help us to understand what is the teaching that she will give us in this meditation, because we have to understand, meditate on our limits and our limits. What is our riches? What are our riches? Not in material things, but she can help us to understand that we are all connected with the mystical body. So our fall can have effect, bad effect on the mystical body. And the contrary, our right acts and rounds in divine will can have a big positive effect on the mystical body. So what are our riches? We have to have this question for us in this week, and staying with Jesus and Mary, we have to understand, yes, I can have the same riches. I can work for other souls.
Right. It's mystical. It's mystical. It's something foreign to us, but yet it's still in us. Right, Sister Francesca?
Absolutely. I was trying to think of a clever transition, but it didn't go.
No, actually, you said that so poetically. I was thinking it'd lead into a song or something. That was really
brilliant. No, we want people to continue to listen. So
that's
I would
right.
That.
To Radio Maria. That's right.
I was just struck by what Sister Teresa just said, to give your heart. Now all of a sudden I totally forgot what she said, something about giving your heart to Jesus. And it reminded me of a quote that I read this morning from Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton: put your heart at his feet, it is the gift he loves most. Oh no, I think she was talking about, you know, placing yourself at the feet of the cross this week during Passion Week. I mean, I thought of this quote immediately, because when I read that, put your heart at Jesus's feet, it is the gift he loves the most, I immediately thought of putting my heart at the foot of the cross. And that's really, we really need to unite our hearts with Our Lady to do that, because I thought of the image of the Unity Cross, where Jesus is hanging on the cross, gazing down at his mother, who's nestled up to his chest, holding a chalice, and he's pouring in all of the contents of his heart. Basically, the symbolism is into her heart, because he has perfectly given divine love and she perfectly received it. And we all know that Mary also perfectly gave it back to God. And she's inviting us into that same union with her. So it's just a beautiful image for me this Passion Week. Like, what does it mean to put your heart at Jesus's feet? It's putting it at his feet at the foot of the cross and sharing in his sufferings to the extent that he calls us to. You know, we're not all called to do it to the extent that Our Lady did or even Louisa did, but we all are called to share in that suffering and completely open ourselves to whatever the Lord wants to share with us. Because it's called the Unity Cross or the Nuptial Cross. You know, it doesn't seem very romantic when we're in suffering, but if we look at it from the right lens, it's so beautiful, because it's our bridegroom that wants to share the contents of his heart with us. And actually, that'll lead me into the passage I chose today from volume one. I'm starting over again. I'm right back to volume one, which I always enjoy starting over again. And I love volume one. To me, it's I call it the volume of interior freedom, because he's purifying Louisa. And through his purification of her, it's like we just learn all of these treasures of how he wants to purify us also. And even the word purify, it's to free us. You know, the purifications that he allows for us is really just to free us to be able to love more fully the way he loves. So I'm going to read from volume one, a passage where basically, Jesus asks Louisa, "Are you truly ready to do anything that I want?" He's getting her prepared for some really intense sufferings and purifications. But he's such a gentleman; he always asks. So he's asking for her fiat. So Louisa responded, "I became more confused and annihilated, and almost trembling, I said," she's so honest and almost trembling, and I said, "Yes, I am ready." Then he, having mercy upon me, added, "Do not be afraid. I will be your strength. It is not you who will suffer, but I who will suffer and fight within you. You see, I want to purify your soul of the slightest speck that might hinder the flow of my love within you. I want to test your faithfulness. But how can I prove your fidelity except by placing you in the midst of battle? You must realize that I want to put you in the midst of demons. I will give them freedom to torment you and to tempt you, so that after you have opposed virtues with vices, you may find yourself in possession of those very virtues that you fear you are losing. And then your soul, purged, embellished, and enriched, will be like a king returning victorious from a savage war, a king who thought he would lose all that he possessed, but who comes back gloriously laden with immense riches. Then will I come, I will form my dwelling in you, and we will always be together. It is true that your condition will be painful. The demons will give you no peace by day or by night. They will viciously wage war against you, but I want you to always remember my goal for you. And this is important, my goal for you, that I want to transform you into my likeness. Remember that you will not be able to achieve this goal except through many great trials and tribulations. With this knowledge, you will have more courage to endure your sufferings. Ooh, I read this again and it was just so powerful. It could maybe seem a little scary to people if they haven't read volume one yet or don't have context. But really, Louisa was called to a great mission. So her purifications, I think, were on kind of an extraordinary level. He's not necessarily going to do that kind of purification with us, but he's going to do the purifications in our souls that are necessary according to the level of sanctity that he's calling us to. And even like people get scared of, you know, the demons. I'm gonna allow the demons. The demons are gonna torment you. Well, I mean, that happens to us every day. Padre Pio used to say, if we can see the spiritual world the way it is, we'd see nothing but darkness. We're constantly being tempted by demons, except we don't see them as demons. They're just these little tempting thoughts throughout our day. And I think this is great advice, Jesus. He gives great advice, Jesus, to Louisa. You know, don't focus so much on the temptations and the sufferings. Focus on my plan for you, my plan that I'm trying to turn you into my likeness. Especially, you know, I think some of the hardest sufferings that we experience are sufferings in relationships when we have difficulties with relating to people. You know, I think every family has, you know, certain kinds of difficulties or coworkers, whatever it may be. But if you just kind of look at those things as not, oh, this person did this to me, or this is an injustice, or, you know, whatever it is, maybe it is objectively, but Christ is trying to transform you into his likeness. He's trying to teach us how to love as he loves. And he absorbed everything, every injustice on the cross for the love of us, for the love of those who are inflicting the pain on him. And we can all say we inflicted that pain on him because we're all sinners. So in those moments, it's just beautiful to think that, no, this is Jesus that wants to suffer it in me. This is Jesus that wants me to participate in his work of redemption. This is Jesus that wants to transform me more into him. And like he said, I mean, we all know this. It's really through the sufferings and the crosses and the trials and tribulations that our faith is tested, that we can prove our love to him. And those are the things that really transform us. You know, when everything goes well, I mean, those are all graces too. They come from the will of God, and we have to thank him for it. But they don't really test our love, because it's very easy to love when we're in consolation. It's easy to love when everything's going well, but it's not easy to love and persevere when we're in suffering. So if we can keep our eyes fixed on him and that romantic exchange between bridegroom and bride, like Our Lady experienced with him at the foot of the cross, the suffering and the trial is still going to be there, but it's going to turn that suffering into something sweet, because it's going to turn it into an act of love.
I'm in listening mode, and I just want to stay here. That was really a very eloquent sister. You know, you mentioned about Mary receiving God's love and giving it back to God, because she was in the divine world, giving it back to God on the level of God, due to God. And again, the phrase, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, is so apropos. Think about, let's go to our Blessed Mother's biological mother and father, St. Anne and St. Joachim. Beautiful lives, pristine. They have everything they need. They have no wants except their childless. They have no children. And then in their old age, God endows them with a child, not just a child, the child, Our Lady. Now they have everything they've ever wanted. And at 3 years old, what does St. Anne and St. Joachim do? They take the love of their life given to them by God, and they give it back to God. Wow. Probably the most difficult decision they had to make in their lives. But they did it. That's the example, the reciprocal of love that you so articulated a couple of years ago. That's exactly what the divine will is. And again, Mary is, she's the one that's going to lead us into this battle. She's the one, not because she says, I'm in charge. No, God says, you're in charge. And the wedding at Cana explains it, defines it. And there's so much more metaphorically present at the wedding of Cana. Maybe we can dedicate a program to that at one point in time. It's just, it's absolutely all here. So beautiful. Thank you for that sharing, sister. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Peter. That was so beautiful. I never thought about that. The apple falling far from the tree, how Anne and Joachim, St. Anne and St. Joachim really modeled for Our Lady, you know, what she was going to be called later to do. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even know that they were childless. This is maybe a year or so ago I found this out. I said, wow, isn't it ironic? And that takes true love. That takes true confidence. That takes true faith in our Lord. Again, to give up what we treasure the most, or to give everything again, let's look at the woman who gave the 2 pence. People were giving much larger sums of money, but they were giving of their excess. The old woman, she gave everything she had. There's a great delineation there. That's naked to the naked eye, but mysteriously, metaphorically, and just mystically, we have that. That's this gift. It's looking at it. I'd like to go into the break with this, if I may, because I don't want to go to say to Sister Elizabeth and have to cut her off in 30 seconds. But
thank you,
Hope Bennett. You're well, very welcome. I can't do it again. I'd love to do it in fun, but I just couldn't do it. Pope Benedict gave a speech to bishops. I don't have the date. I'm sorry. But he basically said, paraphrasing, God is wrapping up everything. 6,000 years of assistance through grace is now being organized and explained by God himself. Well, is he explaining the divine will, the book of heaven? Back to the quote. So as to define unequivocally truth, the truth and nothing but the truth, not through man. Man must realize he cannot explain everything. End quote.
Wow.
Some things are left to the imagination. Some things God must mystically give us that understanding. And he's doing it. The total supplication of all that's been given to us already, which again is suffice enough for salvation, but now is better understood through the Article 66. It's here. It's not coming tomorrow. It didn't come yesterday. It's not coming in the future. It's here. Grab it. Hold on to it. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to that other side. Finally.
Finally arrived here. You're listening to Radio Maria, a Catholic voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. Welcome back, everyone, to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a fun and practical approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living the divine will. I think that really summarizes it. I think it's Daniel Carnegie, a famous businessman in the United States, who said that if you're not having fun with what you do, you're never going to be good at it. We're not sure if we're getting good at it. We just keep going. What is being done good, they're good at, that's Radio Maria, of being on air for a long period of time under the patronage of our Blessed Lady. Again, being in the world but not of the world, it does take money. It does take prayer. And we are all capable of giving spiritually. We can pray for the existence of Radio Maria. What would we do without it? 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, Catholic programming. So rare today. But because it's in the world, it does have some financial obligations. And we don't like to talk about money, but let's talk about charity quickly. Volume one, our Lord, quote, faith and hope give way to charity. And charity connects all the rest of the other two together in such a way as to make them one while they are three. And here is how, oh my spouse, the Trinity of the divine persons is concealed in the three theological virtues. End quote. Charity binds them all together. Or if that's not enough, how about one more? This is from volume four, October 29th, 1900. Louisa said, quote, he said, and now Jesus speaking, the most essential and necessary thing in a soul is charity. If there is no charity, it happens as to those families or kingdoms which have no rulers. Everything is upset. End quote. And last but not least, Anne Frank stated, quote, no one has ever become poor by giving. End quote. We ask you to please give if you can. God knows what we can do, what we cannot do. He's not asking for anyone to do anything that they cannot do. So everyone is under the auspice and the possibility of giving spiritually, please. But for those who have been blessed and endowed with the ability to give and to give, giving is so valuable to not only Radio Maria, but to His Blessed Lord. I mean, there's always going to be rich and poor. The rich can realize God through their giving to the less fortunate, and the less fortunate can recognize God in the giving and in the charity of those who do have. So please, if you can, go to radiomaria.us, click on the Donate Now button, or call 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201, or radiomaria.us. And we will offer, do our part as best we can. We will offer anyone making a donation, whether you're listening live now or listening to this program in the archives, we will offer you as a gift a Louisa Picanetta prayer relic card, which includes a piece of Louisa's clothing. I know, spectacular. And even more importantly, on the back of the card is the contact information, whom to contact, not when, but not if, but when you receive your blessing, to please contact them. But again, this is a treasure, and I don't know how many more we're going to have available. Our sort of supply chain has been interrupted temporarily, but we'll do the best we can for that. And speaking to do the best we can, I'd like to bring us back to Italy, and I think it's Sister Elizabeth's time. Hello, Sister.
Hi, Peter. Thank you for this great introduction.
Very warm.
Yeah. Well, I'll try to do my best, but you know, it's yeah. So I just wanted to share with you. You were mentioning how Saint Joachim and Saint Anne, parents of Our Lady, how she had great role models, no, like human role models to that prepared her also in a way for her future life with Saint Joseph and Jesus. So I would like to say a little bit about Saint Joseph, which whose feast day was 2 days ago, and I have a passage from volume 11 about Saint Joseph. But just a little bit about meaning of the name of Joseph. Because just the other day I read something about Saint Joseph. So there's a mystic, Italian mystic, Maria Cecilia Baggi, Baggi. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. That so she had visions about whole life of Saint Joseph, and that his parents were Jacob and Rachel. And also in the Old Testament, Joseph parents were Jacob and Rachel, and Rachel was barren, and she was really like ashamed that her sister Leah was having a lot of children with Jacob, I mean with Israel, and her servants, her handmaids were also bearing children, but she couldn't have children. So her first son was Joseph, and her second one was Benjamin. But she gave her first son named Joseph, and he was a fruit of a prayer, and his name means like to increase. But actually the fullness of his name means to prune away what is sterile and increase what is fruitful. Like in the Bible, it says, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser." Like that can also be connected with Saint Joseph, like a vine dresser. His name is like he prunes away every branch that is sterile, and to increase the ones that are fruitful. So, and also church calls him a master of the interior life, and the one who provides for all the children of the church. In a way, his fatherhood to Jesus extends to all of us. And so it's just very interesting, this meaning of that name, not only to increase, but also to like to cut away what's not good, to increase what is good.
I never thought of it that way. That's really very insightful. Thank you, sister.
Yeah, because what?
I said you were worth the wait.
Oh, thank you, Peter. and also this, I mean, from the Old Testament, in the Genesis, I think chapter 41, the Old Testament about Joseph says, "Go to Joseph and do as he says." Ita Joseph. So really, he's our helper in everything. And also, I read in one book about Saint Joseph that Our Lady Mary is the heel that will crush the head of Satan on the shoe of Saint Joseph. Yeah. Like that was really a nice.
Wow.
Yeah. So I have a passage here from volume 11. Also about the works of Jesus and Joseph, interior and exterior works. So August 14, 1912. "Now one day I was working and I thought to myself, how can it be that while I'm working, it is Jesus who works in me and he himself wants to do this work? And Jesus, I myself and my fingers which are in yours are working. My daughter, when I was on earth, did my hands not lower themselves to work the wood, to hammer the nails, and to help my foster father Joseph? While I was doing that, with those very hands, with those fingers, I created souls and called other souls back to the next life. I divinized all human actions. I sanctified them, giving a divine merit to each one of them. In the movements of my fingers, I called in sequence all the movements of your fingers and those of others. And if I saw that they were doing them for me or because I wanted to do them within them, I continued my life of Nazareth in them. And I felt as though cheered by them for the sacrifices and the humiliations of my hidden life, giving them the merit of my very life. Daughter, the hidden life that I conducted in Nazareth is not taken into consideration by men, when in fact, after my passion, I could not have done a greater good for them. By lowering myself to all those acts, little and lowly, those acts which men do in their daily lives, such as eating, sleeping, drinking, working, starting the fire, sweeping, etc., all acts which no one can do without, I made the divine little coin of incalculable value flow in their hands. So if my passion redeemed them, my hidden life provided each human action, even the most insignificant one, with divine merit and with infinite value. Do you see? While you work, working because I want to work, my fingers flow within yours. And while I work in you, in this very instant, how many am I bringing to the light of this world with my creative hands? How many others am I calling back? How many others do I sanctify, correct, chastise, etc.? Now you are with me, creating, calling, correcting, and so forth. Therefore, just as you are not alone, neither am I alone in my working, could I give you a greater honor. But who can say what I comprehended and the good that we can do to ourselves and to others by doing things because Jesus wants to do them in us? My mind gets lost, therefore I stop there. So really, we might think, okay, Jesus and Joseph, his pastor father, they were just carpenters. They were like doing the work with wood. But it is just so incredible what Jesus is saying here, that so it said, my daughter, when I was on earth, did my hands not lower themselves to work the wood, to hammer the nails, and to help my foster father Joseph? But he was, while I was doing that with those very hands, with those fingers, I created souls and called other souls back to the next life. I mean, really, he's talking about creating souls in this, like simply working with wood. And it's just like Luisa said at the end, it's so like hard. It's hard to grasp it, to comprehend it, and so the exterior work that we do with our body, but in the interior, how much acts we can do, you know, with everything, and really including that all the human generations. And and in other passages it talks about Saint Joseph, how Jesus says, I had to give him the gift of my life. So his acts were following all of my acts and Our Lady's acts, Jesus is telling about Saint Joseph. So basically saying how he had the gift of living in the divine will, and the three of them were the image of the Holy Trinity. And I mean, it's another little thing that Joseph, Saint Joseph, was the image of God the Father, really like a completion of all the patriarchs of what Adam at the end was supposed to be like.
That is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, and also with all the his labor, his work with his hands, providing for the family, he was like doing all this corporal works of mercy, providing for a child and his mother, and like a model of what every father should do. A model of fatherhood and being a husband.
And see the example too, sister, not to cut you off, but see the example also about, you know, in our homes, we don't have to really be fearful about our families. We just have to strive to live in this divine will. Because look at Saint Joseph. He lived in the divine will, but not the same way Mary and Jesus did. He didn't possess it as they did. He lived in the shadow of it. So we too can offer that if we're so blessed to allow our shadow to, again, overshadow our household. So don't, we don't have to worry about our family and friends if they don't understand this gift at this time. Because again, we know very few people will understand at this time. Jesus says that. So that's a lot of confidence. And Jesus explained, again, this whole story about St. Joseph, the simple things, the simple sacrifices. Volume 23, August 15th, 1927, Jesus says, "It is my usual way to ask for small sacrifices. Depriving oneself of a pleasure or a desire or a small interest or a vanity, or detaching oneself from something which seems to do no one harm. These are the small tests. Therefore, my daughter, it takes greater attention to small sacrifices than to the great ones, because the small ones are the strength of the great. Dispose God to give grace and the soul to receive it, and all will be well." It's easy. It really is. We complicate it. I didn't mean to cut you off, sister. I just had to blurt that out because, again, I have old age syndrome. If I don't say it now, it's forever. You know, say it now or forever hold your peace. I'm going to forget it.
No. You have the Holy Spirit.
No, he left.
I hope not.
He's back to you.
Yeah, good. That's where we need him right now. Sister Elizabeth was reading that. I love passages like that because
that was
thinking the same thing. Yeah. It's easy. We like you said, Peter, we complicate things. And it reminded me of a quote that I read yesterday. I have a little app that gives you a little quote of the day for every day. And I love it. And it was St. Peter Julian Emard that said, "St. Joseph is the greatest of saints, and he's also the humblest and the most hidden." And I thought, wow. And that's what we're called to do. You know, living in the divine will, I mean, we've all got our pride. We all desire some glory, you know, in a certain way. Right. So we want to be able to do the big sacrifices. And sometimes we poo-poo the little ones, like, oh, well, what's that going to do? How's that going to help a soul? How's that going to please the Lord? That's not going to be good enough for the Lord. But that's really the lie of the enemy, because he knows. I mean, the little sacrifices are like the greatest spiritual bombs because they're so hidden. There's no glory in them, or very little glory. You know, it's not about us. It's about, you know, offering that in pure love of God and for his glory, because nobody else can really see it. And it doesn't look like it takes much effort, but it's, yeah. So I'm glad you said that, Peter. It's the little sacrifices.
Yeah. I was just thinking about it. Cause, and also think about St. Joseph, since we're talking about St. Joseph, he had the courage of Christ, and he had the humility and the quietness of Mary. And he combined them. I mean, he knew what to do. He did it. He did it without fanfare. He was mostly quiet, even in the cave at the birth. He's away. He's giving the mother and the son sort of like the time of themselves. Yeah, he's still participating, but in a different way. It's so mysterious. Again, how can we explain this? Pope Benedict said, don't try to explain everything. It's impossible. Yeah. Let our Lord meditate on it. I'm sure our Lord will speak to each of us slightly differently. Again, there's only one truth, but he'll convey it in a different way. And again, the way I can convey it, the way I understand it, it's crazy at times. And I don't anticipate anyone else to understand my craziness. But again, God will, and he'll understand each and every one of us.
Amen to that, Peter, because I think sometimes, you know, the Lord does speak to us, but then we kind of get attached to that one idea or that one way of looking at something. And then we can't see other people's ideas and their way of looking at it and the things that the Lord has revealed to them. And it's so important that we do that. I don't remember if I mentioned it, Mary, still on Sunday, but we had a nun's retreat over the weekend. And the bishop asked, he gave us like five different Bible passages from the gospel to do Lectio Divina that we can choose from. And we were talking about it later. And Sister Gem and I are very similar in a lot of ways. It makes us laugh. And so we said, oh, which passage did you choose? So of course we chose the same scripture passage, you know, not on purpose. And we were both sharing, you know, what the Lord spoke to our hearts when praying with it. And it was two completely different things, but they were both truths that were revealed through that passage. And I think a lot of times that happens with the divine will too. You know, we can all be, you know, praying with it in different ways, but the Lord's speaking something slightly different to our hearts. It makes me think of, I think I shared this once before, something that G.K. Chesterton compared the Catholic Church to. It's like this island that came out of the ocean, and around this island is this great fence. And this fence are the doctrines, the teachings of the churches that, you know, we're compelled to believe as Catholics. We're supposed to believe it. But inside this great fence, there's this great, beautiful garden that we can run freely in. The fence is not there to give us limitations, but it's there to protect us from falling off the cliff of this island. And if we have that fence, we don't have to be hurtled in the middle of the island afraid of falling off. That fence protects us. And I think that's what we can do as we read, whether it's scripture or the divine will. Of course, we have the fence of church teachings and the right interpretations that we're supposed to, you know, look at both Luis's passages and, of course, scripture. But within that fence, we have a lot that we can play with, and the Holy Spirit is going to take us all into different directions. And I think that, you know, that's a lot of what we receive when we do Radio Maria and we do Mary's Hill. We really see like the different colors that of the divine will that the Holy Spirit, you know, reveals to each of us. And I think that's just such a beautiful lesson for everybody who's whether in divine will groups, like to really appreciate the treasures that other people have to offer rather than feel like your opinion or your interpretation is the only one. Like, we have so much to give, each one of us, but we also have so much to receive from one another.
That's right. Because again, the ultimate teacher of this gift is our Blessed Lord and our Blessed Lady, because he and she are going to convey it using our disposition, using our experiences, he knows us, she knows us better than we know ourselves. So we have to rely on that. But, you know, another thing too, going back to Pope Benedict's talk about, you know, try not to explain, you don't have to explain everything. Again, I think embarking on that mystical life, there's a late Henry Bergson, a French philosopher, that said quote, the words of mystics reawaken the mystical life that slumbers in every human being, end quote. So again, we have to wake up that mysticism. It's there.
Yeah.
We know, and that's why we're going to be so attuned to some, through the grace of God, we're going to be attuned when we hear things, because again, this divine will, we know it. This is the oldest. Yes, new to us, but it's the oldest. It's what Adam had. It's what Eve had. It's from the beginning of time. We're moving forward, going back. This is all so beautiful. This book can only be written, this play can only be orchestrated by our Blessed Lord, because it would not be believable if anyone else presented this. Final thoughts. We've got about 3 minutes. I know I cut Sister Elizabeth short. I'm so sorry for that. In fact, I may have to give her the whole program next week.
Okay. All right. She's speechless.
All right. She's meditating. That's why.
We only have 3 minutes, but I just want to read something really briefly that Jesus said to Luisa. She was a little upset. She was disturbed when her old confessor was taken away from her and she had to have a new confessor because she was finally able to open herself up to the old one. And now she was getting a new one that she felt she was going to be afraid to open up to. So I'm going to read Jesus's response because I think it's something that we can all relate to when things happen in our lives that seem like they're going to be a harm to us, especially a harm to our spiritual lives, but really it's the Lord working. So he says to Luisa, I do not want you to torture yourself over this. I am the king of all hearts, and I can turn them this way or that as I please. If your confessor did you some good, he was nothing but a vessel that received from me and gave to you. With others, I will do the same. So why are you afraid? My dear one, as long as your eyes keep wandering from left to right, distracted with one thing or another and not fixed on me, you will never be able to move speedily on the way of heaven. On the contrary, you will always be limping and you will not be able to follow my inspirations. That is why you look to everything around you with holy indifference, remaining focused on me alone. And I think that's, you know, that's the secret to all of our peace and joy and happiness and our union with Christ. Total blind trust in him that no matter what happens, he's in control and he's working.
Right. So you know why? If we adopt that, we have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Nothing to lose. Well, again, thanks be to God for this opportunity. Thank you, sisters, for your vocation, for your spending this time. Thank you, Radio Maria, for this opportunity to bring this gift of living the divine will to all. It's just, it's so incredible. And you know, everything's going to, you know, the truth's going to be unveiled eventually. And we're all going to be very, very satisfied that we spent this time in prayer, in humility, in charity. And again, I remember what Anne Frank said, no one has ever become poor by giving. So please, 888-408-0201 or radiomaria.us. Please give. We'll send you that relic card ASAP. I just can't wait to get that email from Radio Maria. We've got these amount of people that have donated, and please send cards. I promise I will. Thanks be to God. Love everyone. Bye-bye.
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 Thank you so much for listening to the Radio Maria podcasts. It's thanks to listeners like you who donate that enable us to continue delivering quality content to listeners around the world. If you'd like to contribute and help us keep spreading the message of Our Lady's Son, please consider making a donation. You can reach us at 888-408-0201 or simply visit our donations tab on our website at radiomaria.us. Your generosity truly makes a difference. This has been a Radio Maria production.